got back to what Marilyn, she said, you can tell your pastor. I hope he got that right, because I think you made a comment when you saw her sitting down, I guess, she was a pretty lady sitting by you, pretty young lady, I think you said.
I don't remember.
You don't know? I don't know either, but that's what she thought.
Yeah.
And she enjoyed meeting a lot of you folks here.
Good. Amen. That's good. All right. Isaiah chapter 5, Isaiah chapter 5. We'll work out these bugs in this sound system here. In Isaiah chapter number 5, you'll turn there and I will catch up with you. Every time that I preach, I want the Lord's will to be accomplished through me. And I do my best to set myself so that that happens. We pray, seek the Lord, I try to study, I try to be prepared. I do all that I can to try to be a vessel meet for the Master's use. But all of that is null and void, if you will, if it falls on hearts that have not been prepared to receive the Word of God. And I ask you this morning to invite the Lord to speak to you, and you be in a position already to submit to His will for your life. If you do that, we'll count this a blessed and anointed day of God. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
We're not just having church. That's amen?
Right.
We come to meet with the Lord.
Right.
Come to meet with the Lord.
Right.
We recognize that we need God's help in our life. Amen? And we want God to help us. It means we got to be attentive to His direction. I want to speak with you today about one of what I believe is the fastest growing entities of all time. It is not the U.S. government, although that seems to be growing by leaps and bounds every week. It is not the national debt that right along with the U.S. government is growing by leaps and bounds. I mean trillions and we can't even fathom trillions of dollars. Can't even fathom it. I think I heard someone say the other day, he's talking about $1 trillion, that he said this, and he kind of put it in a little bit of a perspective, said it's $1 billion, $1 trillion, $1 trillion. And how many trillions of dollars in debt are we as that grows? But it's not the government, nor is it our national debt. Sadly, it is not the Christian faith. I wish it was. I wish it was. One of the fastest growing and ever growing entities of all time is, and contrary to popular opinion, is not Islam. It is not the Muslim religion. The Bible tells us of a place that is and has been continually expanding. It is and has been continually expanding. So much so that we're told it has enlarged itself to the point of being described as being beyond measure. Enlarging herself so much so as to be described as beyond measure. What is this place? What is this place? In Isaiah chapter number 5, verse number 14, if you'll look at the words there, I'll read them. The Bible says, therefore, hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure. The Bible says of this place called hell that it is enlarged herself and opened her mouth, that is to receive those that would go there. Open the mouth of those gates of hell to the point of being beyond measure. And at the time of this writing, that was some 2,600 years ago. And if that was so of that awful place, how much more would it be today? That hell is so continually and continually and consistently and constantly grown and grown and grown and grown. This place none other than the abode of the condemned dead. The Greek word, the Hebrew word here is Sheol. That is that place that is beyond the grave, reserved for the devil and his angels, as well as for those who have never known a Savior. It is that awful place the Lord spake of in His discourse concerning a broad way that leadeth to destruction. It is that place that the rich man testified of when once he entered, opened his eyes, being in torments, and cried to Father Abraham, "Father Abraham, send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame." That awful place. The Bible says it is, enlarged herself and opened her mouth beyond measure. It is the place that we've all heard of. We use it as a byword. We use it in our conversations. We use it in our curse words. Not considering the fact that's a very real place. It's a very real place, and it's an ever-expanding place. It's that place known as hell. Here in Isaiah 5:14, the Bible tells us that hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure. The Bible says that their glory and their multitude and the pomp and the rejoicing shall all descend into it. Into it. I ask you this morning, why is it that such an awful place would be a place that's described as ever-growing, that's enlarging day by day, and so open is the mouth of it that it is beyond measure? Why would such a thing happen? It seems to me that with all of the Bibles that we have, it seems to me that with all of the churches that exist, it seems to me with all the knowledge that we have to carry the gospel message out, it seems to me that with all the preachers that could carry that message, it seems to me with all the messages that folks sit and listen to and hear and take in and write notes that they hear, it seems to me that all the songs that are sung, it seems to me with all the technology at our very fingertips that there would be no need for such a thing to have to be. I don't understand that. I don't understand why such an awful place would be continually growing with all the ability we have to get the gospel out to a lost and dying world. With all the avenues that lost men have to hear the Word of God. The Bible says the grace of God to bring us salvation hath appeared to all men. Should be no need for such an expansion. Then why? The message this morning will deal with this question. Why does hell continue to enlarge herself beyond measure? Why does hell continue to enlarge herself beyond measure? You ever ask yourself that question? Why does hell continue to get larger? Why does hell continue to get greater? Why is that? The message this morning, I want to deal with that question. Now, the Scripture tells us in Isaiah chapter number 5, verse number 14, it begins with the word therefore. The word therefore is a unique word to us. Often we don't consider it much. We just read it and go on. The word therefore, I use this little phrase because of what I just said. The word therefore. In other words, you could almost replace the word therefore with that phrase. Because of what I just said, hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth beyond measure. That indicates then, the word therefore, that He has given us some things to consider this purpose of why hell hath enlarged herself. Really, there is only one overriding reason, and we'll get to that in a moment. This I can see, thus I can see, in this passage here at least four things that the Bible gives us as contributing factors to this awful place and its continued growth. In this passage, because the word therefore, when I look back and look at those verses that come, that precede that, I pick up right away four major areas that I believe are reasons why that place continues to enlarge herself. In the mouth of hell, beyond measure. I beg you this morning, God gets a hold of your heart, revealing that your actions may contribute to the enlargement of this awful place. I pray you take action today and get right with God. And get right with God. Why does hell continue to enlarge herself beyond measure? Number one, because the people were living foolishly for prosperity. Because the people at this time were foolishly living for prosperity. In verse number 8, look at this. He says, "Woe to them that join house to house, that lay field to field." Notice this work ethic, this need for financial gain. They join house to house and field to field till there be no place that they may be placed alone in the midst of the earth. "In mine ear, saith the Lord of hosts, of a truth, many houses shall be desolate." He's referring to the fact that the people labored for prosperity. Houses and lands and cattle and food and all of the things of life. They focused on that, and God said it's part of their judgment. He's going to touch it all and it's going to be desolate. Their focus was on prosperity, and they did so foolishly. To these folks, money and material gain was what life was all about. When it come to God, the things of God, sorry, I've got to work. When it comes to the things of God, sorry, I've got a career that I've got to chase after. When it comes to the things of God, sorry, I've got to study to be more smarter as I go to college. And when it comes to the things of God, sorry, but I've got my own plans. When it comes to the things of God, sorry, Sunday's my only day off and I've got to get some rest. Today, mom has a job and dad has a job. Children are at home alone playing video games, becoming ever more disassociated with day-to-day life. Because of this never, ever satisfied fixation on money for material things, there is no time for God. Thus, hell is enlarged herself. Money. Money, money, money. Got to have money. Got to make money. Got to get that good job. Got to work hard. Got to work long. Got to work on and on and on and on and on. The things of God I don't have time for. I've got to have that money. In that lifestyle, there's no hope because they've taken God and pushed Him out of their life. And their whole focus is on their foolish prosperity. And in doing so, never receive the gospel. And they die and go straight to a devil's hell. Proverbs chapter number 1. Look over there real quickly. I'll read it to you. Proverbs chapter number 1. The Bible says in verse number 29, this is God speaking here concerning a rebellious people. It says, "For that they hated knowledge." And He's talking about concerning Him. "For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore," there's that word therefore, "therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way, be filled with their own devices." For the turning away of the simple, what is that turning away? It is being confronted with the things of God, and in ignorance they refuse it and reject it. The turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. This fixation on being prosperous and the hunt for that and the drive for that and the focus on that is going to destroy you. No wonder hell's enlarged itself when people live foolishly for prosperity. Prosperity of fools shall destroy them. We are reminded in Mark chapter 8 verse 36 as well as Matthew chapter 16 and verse 26. What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Some of you striving to gain the whole world, and in doing so you're going to lose your soul. You know why? Because that fixation on personal prosperity, on foolish prosperity, it pushes God out. When God is pushed out, you have no other option. You're going to go to a devil's hell. Hey, that's not very encouraging. My goal is not to be... I want to encourage you to get saved. I want to encourage you to get in right standing with God and realize that hell is a very real place. And if you're not saved this morning, you're going to go there. And if you're not... One of the reasons my folks won't get saved is because they're so focused on personal prosperity. Just like here. Number two, not only did they foolishly lived for prosperity, but number two, the people lived for fleshly pleasure. I wrote in my notes here. Oh, verse number 11, let me read the scripture. Woe to them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink, and continue until night, till wine inflame them. This is a carnal-minded people, dead set on absolutely nothing but self-pleasure. Living for what makes me feel good. I put in my notes here, if it feels good, do it. It was alive and well in Isaiah's day, as it is in the day in which you and I live. We are living in a pleasure-dictated society. If it does not feel good, they don't want anything to do with it. Shame on us. Shame on us. Under God, I have 30 and 40, 50-year-old men that can't seem to take initiative and do what needs to be done because it doesn't feel good to them. They don't mind having children, living in houses, driving cars and eating food, but they won't lift a finger to do anything. Why? Because they live for pleasure. Live for pleasure. Can't get up at 8 o'clock to be at a job, but can be up at 5 o'clock in the morning to go have fun somewhere. Live for fleshly pleasure. We are living in a pleasure-dictated society. And listen, it's not today. It seems the general consensus is that it is not about responsibility. It is not about character. It is not about discipline. It is not about commitment. It is not about honor. It's all about what feels good and what's fun. It's what I want, and forget what everyone else. Forget about everyone else. And here's the problem. Even God. Even God. When you're focused in on your pleasures and all about you, no room for God in that. Ain't no room for God in that. Because see, when we're allowing our flesh to guide, the things of God are contrary to our flesh. We don't want those things. They don't... Because they speak of that area I read about earlier. They speak of discipline and character and commitment and conviction and standards. Listen, when you live for fun, you don't want anything to do with that kind of stuff. Who's with me? Oh, I'm telling you, friend of mine, I don't want to see hell continuing to enlarge yourself. I don't want to see the gate, the mouth of hell so wide open that it is beyond measure. But it's going to happen as people are living foolishly for prosperity, as people are living for fleshly pleasures. So consumed by pleasure that all logic is done away. Now think about Adam and Eve. You ever consider the foolishness of Adam and Eve? Had that God had prepared this garden for them to live in. And in that garden, they could eat of every tree. They could partake of everything in that garden. It was all theirs. The whole thing belonged to them. And God said, there's one tree you're to stay away from. And the devil used that one thing to possibly, probably consume them. That one thing. All logic was thrown out so that they could have that one thing. All logic thrown out for their desire for that one thing. Not only Adam and Eve, but I think about the nation of Israel. In Exodus chapter number 32, there Moses went up to meet with God, and all of a sudden it wasn't very long. They quickly turned aside, and there they are worshiping gold and boy, just doing all sorts of ungodly wickedness there. Think about it. They forgot all that God had done for them, so quickly forgot, so that they could be a part of what would bring them pleasure. Not only that, I think about Samson. Tell his mother and father, "Hey, give me a woman from down yonder, for she pleaseth me." Was not a lady of all thy family here, the Israelites? No, that woman down there is who I want. I'm telling you, when we start focusing in on what makes me feel good, all logic is thrown out. All logic's thrown out. All logic's thrown out. All logic. That's why, I'll go on from that, but Adam and Eve, Israel, Samson, so many others in God's Word give us that image. To live for pleasure, let me tell you this, to live for pleasure will always, listen, to live for pleasures will always cause you to reject what you know is right. To live for pleasure will always cause you to reject what you know is right. To live for pleasures will always cause you to request even more. Ungodliness, listen to me, is never satisfied. Never. Things always get worse. Always. You young people, you look around this world, if you have any indication at all of some things that are bad, you consider bad, you just wait 20 years. And the way you'll feel in 20 years is the way I feel now.
Right.
You don't understand that, but I do.
Yeah.
It's bad. Bad. It's going to always, living for pleasure will always cause you to reject what you know is right. It'll always cause you to request for more. And it will always cause you great regret forever. Regret.
Well, I used to know what was right and I've turned my back on it. Don't bother me at all. I don't have any regrets. I'd do it again if it was up to me.
Forever hadn't come yet. Forever hadn't come yet.
Amen.
You don't know what it's going to be like in eternity. That's part of the Word of God you've never been able to get settled down and look at. But do you realize there's going to come a day where those that are faithful to God are going to be rewarded, and those that are not faithful to God are going to lose reward? That's going to put you the low man on the totem pole in the millennium. Low man. You know why? Because you rejected God in this life. I'm talking about those that are saved. Living for pleasure. Here, these people said, "Man, let's just drink, let's eat, drink, and be merry." That's what they said. And the children of Israel, they rose up to play. Let's just play, man. Give me a video game. Give me a ball team, man. Let me have fun. Let's just play. Let's play and have a good time. That's what I'm all about. Well, you live for that, you push God out. You push God out, you can find yourself in the devil's hell. Thus, hell enlarged herself. Therefore, hell hath enlarged herself. Why? Because the people are living foolishly for prosperity. Number two, because the people live for fleshly pleasures. Number three, because the people have formulated some false sense of peace. How about that? We're fine.
Preacher, come on, preacher, we're fine. Come on, we're fine.
Everything's fine with us. I mean, hey, I know we don't go to church, and I know, hey, we don't read the Bible, but you know, we're fine. Everything's fine with them. We're in good shape. See, this false sense of peace.
Yeah.
that's formulated. I think I see that here in verse number 12. The first part says, and the harp, and the viol, and the tabret, and pipe, and wine are in their feast. What is this? This is a celebration. This is a party. This is to testify that there's no worries, that everything is okay, that all is well because of their prosperity, because of their pleasures. They formulate a false sense of peace, and they've convinced themselves they have no need for God, they have no need for church, they have no need for Bible, they have no need for prayer. All of that stuff is for people that have no sense of peace, and they got to try to find it someplace else, but we have it already. Yes, and the people very much like today, it seems that people become very much like old Zedekiah in 2 Chronicles chapter number 18. He said of Micaiah, I believe was his name. He said, old Zedekiah said, there is a prophet. Jehoshaphat said, is there not a man of God, a man of that calls one on the name of the Lord? There is a prophet in Israel, but I hate him. Some of you in here this morning, you hate me. See, preacher, how can people hate you? You're so loving and so kind. Yeah. It's because of just what I said this morning. Hate me. Hate me. He said, I'm on the cast. He said, there's a man. Yeah, he calls on the Lord. He said, but I hate him. Why? Because he's always prophesying evil against me. Well, guess what, Zedekiah? You stop doing evil, and he'll stop prophesying evil. Yeah, all them other false prophets around there. That's what people do today. Go find that they got itching ears. Go find somebody to make them feel so good. And boy, they just feel so great. Man, they just, I love to hear it. Why? Because it makes me feel so good. Oh, yeah, does it change your life? No. But it makes me feel good. Peace. There were those prophets that said, peace, peace, when there is no peace. There is no peace. It's a formulated peace. What we do, listen, you find people that have peace, they don't go to church, they don't read their Bible, they don't have any prayer time, they never try to be a witness for Christ, they do all the things contrary to what you and I both, what you and I all know is right for the child of God to do. They don't do those things, but they still act like they're just fine. You know why that doesn't make sense to you? I may say, you know why you're able to do that? It's because you've formulated a sense of peace in your mind. You formulated some false sense of peace. You look around and you line yourself up with the rest of the world and say, hey, I'm about like they are, I'm about like they are, and we're all together, we're all in the same boat. This is just the way life is, and we have peace in that. They formulated a false sense of peace. False sense of peace. Why? Why did old Zedekiah not like to hear from the man of God there? Why did he not like to hear from him? Because his formulated peace, listen to this, because Zedekiah's formulated sense of peace could not be interrupted with the truth of God's Word. Your formulated peace that you have, it won't allow you to come to church faithfully. It won't allow you because you've got it in your mind that this is what is peace. And you come here and all of a sudden the Word of God's open, the man of God's preaching it to you, you find out that you're wrong. You're wrong! And you can't have that. You can't have that. And because of that, hell enlarged herself. A mouth beyond measure. My goodness. Open her mouth without measure. Very much like the people of the day. The peace they find is formulated by putting God out of their mind. Amen? That's what they do. The peace they find is formulated as they put God out of their mind. Because the peace they have is not dictated by God's Word. It's not. That means it comes from someplace else. That's my point. It's formulated by putting God out of their mind. And though they may quote Scripture, they may debate doctrine, and even hang crosses around their necks and upon their walls. It just adds to the validity of the hypocrite they've become. The Bible says, "There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked." There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. We're plowing along this morning. Are you with me? People living for prosperity causes hell to enlarge yourself. People living for fleshly pleasures causes hell to enlarge yourself. People formulating some false sense of peace causes hell to enlarge yourself. Number five, and I'll go quickly for sake of time, but I'd like to park here. You just hear me good, okay? Just hear me. Will you promise to hear me really good? Hear me really good, okay? See, a fourth reason in here why hell continues to grow. It's because God's people have failed in fulfilling God's purpose. There at the last of verse number 12, the Bible says, "They regard not the work of the Lord, neither consider the operation of His hands." You know one of the greatest reasons that hell continues to grow? Is because you and I as believers, as blood-bought children of God, have failed and are failing in our purpose to reach this world with the gospel. We as saved people have become so focused on prosperity, yeah, we don't have to worry about going to hell. We just contribute to the hell being enlarged as others go. We're so focused on prosperity. We're so focused on our pleasure. We formulate our own sense of peace. And in doing so, we fail in carrying out the purpose of God for you and I as His children. Because of that, hell enlarges herself. Mouth without measure. Sadly, one of the leading causes for the enlargement of hell is AWOL Christians who have turned away from their responsibility to reach the world with the gospel. Many have, in rebellion, gone, as the Bible uses this phrase, whoring after other gods. And I'm telling you, the lost are paying the price. God's purpose is that we as His children would live holy lives for others. We as God's children would lead souls to Jesus Christ, that we would labor in the harvest. Know the Scriptures, there are dozens of them. 1 Corinthians 15:34, "Awake unto righteousness and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God, and I speak this to your shame." Why? Why is such an awful place expanding? Why is it when we have such ability that we have today to keep that from happening? It's because of folks living for prosperity, living for pleasures, formulating false peace, and failing to fulfill God's purpose. And hell continues to enlarge herself. Oh, Christian, heed the call of God. Reject the will of your flesh. And get right with God today. Get back in the fight to win souls. Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before men that they'll see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Brother Russell preached on coming out of the closet this past Wednesday. A lot of God's children need to come out of the closet. You want to take a candle and hide it under a bushel? No, you let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. But if we don't do that, child of God, if we don't do that, how are they going to hear? How are they going to hear? They're not going to hear. Hell is going to enlarge herself. And open her mouth without measure. Without measure. Paul said, "The gospel is hid and is hid them that are lost. We have the light to share with them and keep them from going to that awful place." I mentioned earlier there was really one overriding reason for the enlargement of hell. And it is, I In Psalm chapter 9, verse 17, the Bible says, the wicked shall be turned into hell. The wicked shall be turned into hell. And all nations that forget God. Have you forgotten God? Lost person here this morning, do you not like to consider God? Saved person here this morning, have you grown to the place where you don't want to consider God? Because when you do that, He calls upon change. You know, I tell people this. Hear me. Some of you are visitors here this morning. I use this, and it's so true. God will accept anyone as they are. Praise God for that. Praise God for that. God will accept anyone as they are. But listen to this preacher. Listen to me this morning. God expects all of His children to change. Every one of them. Every one of them. Listen, God may receive you as a drunkard, but God expects you to stop drinking. God may receive you as a drug addict. Hallelujah. But God intends for you to stop using drugs. God may receive you as an adulteress, as a wicked, ungodly, whatever the case might be, a sinner. But God intends for you to change. Be conformed to the image of His Son, the Bible tells us. Every one of us. Every one of us. But it's this thing about forgetting God. In our text, again, I'm hurting for time here this morning, but in our text we see that God had planted a vineyard. Boy, he put the work into it, made the very best, built a tower, built a wall around it, hedged it about. And all of it was all right there, and it should have brought forth grapes, but it brought forth wild grapes. Why? Because by and by the people said, we don't want that. We want what we want. They forgot God. Therefore, hail and enlarge yourself. And over there in Proverbs chapter number 1, I alluded to it earlier. God said, because I have called and you have refused. You refused. Forget God. Forget God. In Romans chapter number 1. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. See? The danger is that we all forget God. Saved or lost. Saved or lost. The lost, we tend to busy themselves with the things of this world. They're never confronted with God, and therefore they end up dying and going to hell. Believers are not doing what they're supposed to do, so they're not reaching those loss, and therefore they end up dying and going to hell. Believers, in rebellion to God, they forget God. They don't end up going to hell, but you know what? They send a lot of people to hell. Is that all right this morning? Can you be honest and say, because my witness is not what it's supposed to be, that I am in fact sending people to hell? I hope you can be honest and say, yes, that's right, because that is right. That is right. That's a hard pill to swallow. You need to swallow it this morning. Because it's that sort of stern reality that may be the thing that causes us to humble ourselves before God and pray to Him once again for His help. If you're here this morning and you're not sure that heaven will be your home, I beg you this morning, trust the Lord. That's what He died for. He died for you. If you're saved this morning and you find, listen, I've been running from God, preacher. I've been running from the Lord this morning. Why don't you come and ask God to help you, forgive you, and set you back on the right path. Let's stand together, our heads bowed and eyes closed.